today on Real Radio.
See, the spirit of Babylon has not gone anywhere. The spirit of Babylon, as it was then, so it is today. It is the core, it is the nucleus of pagan worship.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Holds the Future, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of coming judgment if they didn't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 12, we learned that God wants us to be with him. He doesn't send us away when we offend him, but comforts us with his compassion. When we give our lives over to the Lord, we no longer need to be afraid. Those who know the one true God know him by name, the Holy One of Israel, who we get to call our Father. God wants us to worship him not because we have to, but because we have a real relationship with him. Now in chapter 13, we'll look to the future and the spiritual powers behind the world's governments. So today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that many great empires have come and gone, but God has set aside Israel above all other nations. They are his chosen people, and his promise to them was that Israel is forever. And that doesn't mean that God did not discipline them, but ultimately, he will punish those governments who stand against them. And now, continuing his lesson called He Who Holds the Future, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Nimrod advanced himself to be a local king by deception. When he had the Tower of Babel built, the Tower of, by the way, Babel, is root to Babylon. And it's the root is confusion. Confusion, or the hill, or the tower, or the realm of confusion. God is not the author of, says the Bible. But who is the author of confusion? Satan is. Isn't that interesting? So this is a paradise on earth. The famous hanging gardens of Nebuchadnezzar. According to antiquity, world history, people would come from all over the regions to see these amazing gardens of his. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of all that. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 31, the Bible tells us, Daniel chapter 2, verse 31, regarding God ultimately judging Babylon. We need to recognize this. I know it might be boring for some of you. I hope not, but Daniel speaks now to King Nebuchadnezzar. So watch this. Daniel is going to speak. Isaiah is long gone now, dead off the scene. Daniel is in Babylon. Daniel is a Jew. He's a Hebrew. What's he doing in Babylon? You know, don't you? He was taken captive. How was it? Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar, on three different invasions of Judah, Jerusalem specifically, took Hebrews captive back to Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar, as his way of conquering was, he would always have those that were conquered, he would put them through a SAT test. I'm not kidding. He would get everybody in this room, and he would have his administration do cultural test, history test, math test. I'm not kidding. He had everybody do a test, and how they scored, he determined that those who were at a certain place, they're not even worthy to feed. They're too ignorant. I'll kill them. This group, they'll be great for working in my stables. This group, they'll be civil engineering for the city, for the kingdom. This group will be more in the area of fill in the blank. And then this select group, very high scoring students, captives. These guys are the top. And out of that top group, there were just a handful of guys selected. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel. You know them as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were their Babylonian names. Daniel's name was, I always mess it up. It's either Belteshazzar or Belshazzar. Those were his, that's the Babylonian names. And now Daniel has been so blessed by God. By the way, church, listen, Daniel stood against a decaying culture, a pagan culture. When they told Daniel, you are not allowed to pray. What did he do? He went home and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when they pray. Daniel opened up his window and he prayed to the God of the Bible. And they said, that's it. We're going to throw him in the lion's den. Wow. He prayed. He prayed because the God that he worshiped was bigger than Nebuchadnezzar. So now Nebuchadnezzar sees a dream. He's freaked out about it. You guys may know that. He's had this horrible dream. Listen to this. Daniel speaks to Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter 2, verse 31. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and its arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze. This all matters. This is not lightweight stuff, people. Listen carefully. Its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. Verse 34, you watched while a stone, listen, was cut out without hands, without human hands. So here's the statue, right? And it's represented in a head of gold all the way down to the feet of iron mixed with clay. In descending values of metals, okay? Out of nowhere is a stone that's not from earth, and it's not cut with human hands. So watch this amazing dream or vision, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay. Notice it didn't strike anywhere else, but in its last stand, no pun intended, but in its last stand, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Verse 36, Daniel speaks to his boss. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory, and wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand, and he has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold, but after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. The Babylonian Empire, watch this, everybody, will go in, well, it already has at this time in Daniel's day, but it's going to go into Judah and take Judah captive. In all of his glory, Nebuchadnezzar rules and reigns the earth. But God's not done. That kingdom can only last for a while because God is going to judge the Babylonian Empire. How does he judge it? By the way, it was considered to be impregnable. The Babylonian Empire, the city was 15 miles on each side. 15 miles, turn left, 15 miles, turn left, 15 miles, turn left. That's the city. Through the middle, the Euphrates River flows. It's protected on that perimeter with two walls. The first wall, scholars tell us, was 200 to 300 feet high. What kind of example do we have of that? What's tall? You know, what's the thing at Knott's Berry Farm? That isn't that? Or what about at Disneyland? That's the tallest thing around here, isn't it? What's that, the hotel thing? How tall is that? Anybody know? It's tall, but ain't tall enough. 200 to 300 feet high. The walls were so wide. Listen, that's one set of walls. Then there's an area that can be a moat that could be flooded by the Euphrates River. If you needed the protection, you could flood between the two walls. So you got these walls, 250 to 300 feet high. Then you've got a moat. Then you've got another wall. And on the big wall, the high wall, you could run, they said, historians tell us, six chariots racing side by side together around the top. It's beyond our imagination. To see a wall like that going 15 miles that way, then 15 miles that way. So listen, it's no wonder why people thought this kingdom will last forever. Nobody can break it. Guess what? You know how Babylon went down? Without firing a shot. By the way, is that how America's going to go down? Without firing a shot? We just wind up getting invaded from within, as it were? Guess what happened? The Medo-Persian Empire, and this is cool. Not only is it in your Bible, but you can go to the British Museum, and the artifacts are there, and it's interpreted, and you can read it there in London of the king of the Medo-Persian invasion talking about what happened. They, upriver, dried up. They diverted the Euphrates River. They went under the gate while Belteshazzar in his drunken party. Remember that in your Bible? They were all in Babylon. Now Nebuchadnezzar's dead. His grandson is in power. They're all drinking, drunk, orgy with the artifacts from the temple of Jerusalem taken by Nebuchadnezzar's exploits. They've got Israel's sacred temple cups and stuff, and they're drinking with it, carrying on. And you guys remember this. You ever heard the saying, boy, did he see the writing on the wall, or I didn't see the writing on the wall? That comes from the book of Daniel. All of a sudden, the Bible says that a hand appeared and began to write on the wall of their banqueting hall, which was larger than the White House. If you take the White House, that's the size of it. By the way, you guys, archaeologically speaking, that ballroom where this all happened has been unearthed. That's how we know it's the size of the outer perimeter of the White House today. They're having a party with these select guys, and a hand appears. Can you imagine? You're drinking. Man, what's in this stuff? This hand appears and writes, "Mini, mini, tekel, upharsin." What is that? What is that? He calls for an interpretation. And Daniel is now aged, very old, old man, still in captivity. And he comes and he says, and he looks at him and he says, "You," to Belteshazzar, or whatever, it's Belshazzar or Belteshazzar. He says to him, "You have been weighed in the balances and have been found lacking. And this day, the kingdom shall be taken from you." And while that was being spoken, the Euphrates upriver had been diverted and the Medo-Persian Empire was going under the gate. And they invaded without firing a shot. The Bible tells us that the king at that moment, his face turned white. And that I love the old King James. It says his loins were loosed within him and his knees smote one against another. Can you imagine? His knees are knocking and he loses control of himself for fear. That is an awesome moment. The Medo-Persian Empire takes world dominance. That kingdom endures for a while. And then it's taken captive by who? Alexander the Great in the Grecian Empire. The Grecian Empire, at the death of Alexander the Great, which is quite amazing. I don't know if you realize where Alexander the Great died. It was his great conquest. And so he's invading the world. He's 29 years old. He conquers the world. And he gains his last battle. His last battle was Babylon, the city. He takes it from the Medo-Persians and looks around, and there's no more kingdoms to conquer. And he gets so depressed that there's no more war that he cannot go into battle anymore. Alexander the Great starts drinking, becomes a drunk. And I think the age of 35, living in Babylon. He's drunk during a rainstorm. His assistants find him wet, soaking wet, drunk, laying down in the ground. They pick him up, take him into his chambers. He catches a cold, gets pneumonia, and dies at the age of 35. What comes next? The Roman Empire. When the Bible here lists the head of gold, thou, O Nebuchadnezzar, are the head of gold. And then silver, the Medo-Persian Empire. And then bronze, the Grecian Empire. And then the legs. Watch how specific. We're going to have to end soon. Are you guys with me, though? Is this boring? Because I hated history when I was in school. So I may be abusing some of you guys right now. So here's the statue, right, that Daniel sees. And Daniel gives the interpretation of what Nebuchadnezzar had seen and lays out the entire world-dominating empires until Christ returns. We'll have to pick it up next time together, but that stone that comes and hits the feet, notice, it doesn't hit the legs, does it? And it doesn't hit the breasts or the chest, and it doesn't hit the head. The king, gold, comes, he goes off the scene. Silver, the Medo-Persian Empire takes power, it's defeated. By the bronze, the legs. Notice two legs with toes on each foot, it shows you. The Roman Empire, when it took power, the Roman Empire, because it was so massive, had a Western government and an Eastern government. It was the Roman Empire, but it was so big, it was divided up into the West and the East. And when it began to falter, the Bible tells us that, listen, that no kingdom, no army would defeat the Roman Empire. It would fragment into toes. It would be existing as toes, part iron, part clay, mixed together, but they don't mix. Doesn't work. The Bible tells us that during the days of those 10 toes ruling and reigning the earth, that stone cut without human hands hits the feet, destroys the entire image as it blows away, and that stone takes the entire earth. If the Babylonians were conquered by the Medo-Persians, and if the Medo-Persians were conquered by the Greeks, and the Romans conquered the Grecian Empire, then who conquered the Roman Empire? It's silent in here tonight because no one has yet, according to the Bible, conquered the Roman Empire. It's never been defeated. It simply lost its control. This is very, very amazing. It is going to be defeated, but when it does, it's going to be defeated by God Himself, which is why many people believe that there's going to be, though there'll have to be, some form of a revived Roman Empire in the last days based in Europe with 10 representatives. The 10 toes, if you keep reading the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, it will tell you that the 10 toes are also 10 horns, which are 10 kings, 10 rulers that will rule the world, 10 power brokers. We have a hard time thinking like that today. We don't see it like that. We'll have to end with this, but listen, it's amazing to realize that the governments of the world right now are failing. You think that's a coincidence? Economies of the world are failing universally at the same time. There is a global void of leadership right now in the world. There are no leaders. There's nobody leading in the world. Especially for us as Americans. This is an amazing time because America for, 100 years has greatly influenced the world and in the last 60 years has led the world. We were the global leader. And listen, all of a sudden it shifted so quick, almost overnight. What does this mean? It means that we are living at a time of remarkable prophetic things that I believe. Look, I'm almost 58. I think at my age, I'm going to see some pretty amazing stuff prophetically. I mean, it is an amazing time to be alive. Amen. The advancement of technology, what it can do, chipping, people getting chipped, Marine Special Forces, some Europeans are being chipped, dogs are being chipped, satellite information, how now something can happen right here, right now. I mean, I could pick up my phone right now and start to FaceTime people around the world right now. We can view things globally. It's just amazing what's happening. Lawlessness the way that it is, the Islamic threat in the world. Things are shifting, things are changing. It has to. These things have to happen. The next time we get back together in Isaiah 13, you are, in fact, I would like you to read Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, Mark, am I going too fast? Yes. Mark 13, Luke 21, Matthew 24, Book of Daniel. Just read the book. Because Isaiah is going to tell us, chapter 13, he's going to tell us about things that go way beyond the Babylon you saw a moment ago on the screens. He's going to take us into a Babylon spirit revived in the last days. And when you read Revelation, here's another one. Revelation 17 and 18, you're going to read all about Babylon of the future. See, the spirit of Babylon has not gone anywhere. The spirit of Babylon, as it was then, so it is today. It is the core, it is the nucleus of pagan worship. And the Bible tells us in the last days, it's going to be the very platform of which the Antichrist and the false prophet utilize to deceive the world. A false worship system. So Isaiah, poor Isaiah, he saw this, and then the guy had to go to sleep after this. You know, can you imagine laying down after seeing all this stuff? I mean, we get into this, it's like, what? Tonight, you need to make sure, my dear friend, tonight, you need to make sure that you have placed your identity and your soul in the hands of Jesus Christ. You really need to check your bases and make sure you're safe. And accept him. That is, open up your heart and say, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I want to tonight make you my Lord and Savior.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called He Who Holds the Future, Part 1. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. We really do appreciate you listening. And our hope is that your future belongs to Christ. It's possible by accepting him as your Lord and Savior. He Who Holds the Future, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, with Father's Day right around the corner, we've got a great gift idea for you. It's Pastor Jack's Book of the Month for June. It's called The Man God Uses by Henry and Tom Blackaby. Any man who has a desire to know and understand God's calling for his life will be encouraged by this guidebook. The Man God Uses will challenge Christian men to follow God's will in all areas of life and shows how God's power can transform an ordinary man into an extraordinary force for good. There's also a study guide for small group discussions. Again, June's Book of the Month called The Man God Uses makes a great gift for Father's Day, and it's available for purchase at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.